Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic. This is issue number 51, special 4th of July edition, abbreviated.
Truncated,
yes.
But very patriotic.
Yes. Absolutely. God bless America. I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
Cool.
All right, let's roll.
Yeah. Okay. First beer of the pod. Jesus Christ. Is New Belgium's Triple, their Belgian-style ale.
I think we just offended all of Belgium by mispronouncing Triple. It's probably like Tripelle or Tripelle.
Is it Tripelle. Goza or Goze?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, is it, that actually can be said both ways. Eric just chooses to be
Says
wrong.
Says you.
Dude, I ordered.
Hey, man, I'm the one who spells impaired.
I have to. Yeah. So I was at Hy-Vee last week and got a Goza.
I love how he has to stop and pause to say it the wrong
dramatic,
way.
Dramatic pause.
Yeah. To say it the wrong way. Yeah.
And I'm not usually that guy who like sits and talks to the cashiers and stuff. I find that normally annoying, but she was like, "Oh, that's a really good Goza." And I was like, "So I have
vindicated.
To just, yeah, I was like, I was so nice to hear you pronounce it that way. You know, so, and then went into the story of how we argue about how it's pronounced and stuff. So
to be fair, I ordered one at Mission Taco and he called it a Goza. So it just bothers me.
You know what? If you get a room full of 100 people, there's assuredly one idiot.
Wow. Dude, shots fired.
Shots fired. I'm not three just in the last that are doing it correctly.
Wow.
So that kind of breaks one out of 100 there.
Well, I mean, there's more than 100 people in the world. Regardless. What do we think about the Tripelle?
It's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite.
Can I see the bottle, por favor? So it's a Belgian style ale, 8.5%. Sorry.
Ooh, hello.
golden, sweet, and pleasantly dry Belgian style ale, brewed and bottled by New Belgium Brewing Company in Fort Collins, Colorado. Yeah, I don't know, man. I picked this up on a whim. It's an ale brewed with spices.
Spices.
So this week's a short week for us. Eric only has one compare.
Well, for some of us.
Yeah. One compare. So me and Brian are going to try and knock some of these out real quick here. Our first comic today is going to be Batman the Damned. The last one.
So, man, I thought it was pretty fantastic. Okay. Wow.
Ominous music.
Sorry. My bad. Poor timing there. For some reason, I'm not hooked up to your Wi-Fi right now, so it was taking a second there.
Oh, gotcha.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I love the cast of characters they surrounded Batman with. Absolutely love the art. The art is gorgeous. I love the nod to Batman the Killing Joke in the Joker art. There's a panel that, I mean, it feels like it's lifted just directly from Batman the Killing Joke. The story really wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but in the end, I really, really dug it. I wish you'd have stuck with it, Eric. I know the Batpecker turned you off.
Yeah, and I get the Batpecker thing, because it's like,
it felt kind of gratuitous to the rest of the story.
Well, I wasn't even really that. I mean, that's just become the joke. I mean, I just didn't really think the story was all that good. It just didn't interest me that much. So,
and the only thing that I felt about it was you have all the parts there. You know, you got Constantine, you got Swamp Thing, you got the chick magician whose name I'll fuck up.
Zatanna.
Sure.
You have Dead Man.
Yeah. You got the whole Dark universe.
It made me want a good Justice League Dark.
Well, I don't even need a Justice League Dark. I just want a
That's what I'm saying. That's usually the cast of characters they put together for a Justice League Dark.
For sure. But like, why do we got to put a label on things? Like, why can't we just exist in the same world for a while?
So hang on. I mean, so I'm just going to have a comic called No World for Tomorrow.
No, you call it Batman the Damned or Batman whatever. But yeah, like, you don't have to call it Justice League Dark, the Adventures of Swamp Thing and Constantine, or you know,
I wasn't proposing that we would call it that. I just said that's usually the cast of characters. Sure.
Yes.
So I guess my only real complaint with this was the time between issues.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I think DC really struggles with that sometimes. And it's hard to then remember back, like, how did this start off again?
Yeah, for sure.
But
because it was like September when number one came out, and then it was like it was like January when two came out, and then June.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, I mean, you're right up there with Doomsday Clock on getting these out. But now, I mean, like I said, there was like I was telling you the other night, there was a rumor that they weren't even going to release book three. They were just going to cancel the whole series because people were just like, they couldn't get over the fact that there was an outline of a dude's cock in a comic book.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Titties are fine, but you get some gratuitous male nudity in there, and it's like
Game of Thrones Batman.
Yeah.
So definitely dug it.
Yes. And the story does open up for there to be more installments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there better be. God damn it. Killer Groove number two. Okay. This will be quick.
Interesting premise. The story is decent-ish. But the art really gets in the way.
Well, I mean, I think my biggest problem with the whole thing is basically the story is about this, I don't know what you would call him.
Vagabond?
Folk
singer? Okay.
Musician, troubadour, if you will.
Hippie douchebag?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Dropped one too many acid tablets at a Grateful Dead concert.
Correct.
He decides to become a serial killer. The problem is he's...
Oh, no, not a serial
killer. Oh, a hitman. Sorry, hitman.
Subtle difference.
Yeah.
Subtle difference.
Yeah. The problem is he sucks at it.
No, he doesn't suck at killing people.
Well, he kind of does.
I mean, they end up dead.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, like,
sometimes you got to beat him in the head with a gas can for a little bit.
But I mean, like, I mean, if
Eric, you're super sad you didn't pick this up, aren't you?
The problem is, and then he goes and writes songs about it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I killed a dude with a gas can.
Right. Like, I've seen this episode of Criminal Minds. It doesn't work out.
True story. Okay. that's pretty much the lyrics to the song writing.
It really is. It really is. It's like, I killed a dude with a gas can. And I'm like, maybe you shouldn't admit that. I don't know. I'm just saying. If I killed somebody.
Paying audience? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're paying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Not picking up three.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Bone Parish 10. So some stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very interested to know if the hook has been reseated into your,
yes,
into your gum.
Yeah, I'm all in. Yeah, I've complained for the last couple issues that we weren't progressing. We are certainly progressing.
It's almost like we waited until 10 and then we were just like, oh, you mean we've been edging you this whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
It's a pretty action-packed issue. I mean, you really can't talk too much about it without pretty big spoilers, but...
Is Ascending at 12?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked that up.
I almost want it to.
I don't want it to end at 12 because okay. I don't think we're far enough within the story, but let's say 20 or 15.
Okay.
Because I think there's too many stories going on, too many loose ends.
Well, for sure, because
to tie up,
because you just like connected like three or four dots in one issue, and you're like, oh god. So yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to, but I don't want this to have like a.
I don't want it to lose momentum.
Right.
Yep.
And so I want it to end gracefully.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to a point where I'm like, I've picked this up for 12 or 15 or 17 issues.
Which is kind of the
way I don't want to anymore.
I got with Dark Ark where I'm like, dude, seriously, the boat ride's got to end sometime.
Well, and the problem is it's the same author.
Yeah.
So
hopefully we find, but I think Punk Mambo ends at 5. And I think that's sometimes it's best to take the Millar approach where.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
I'm just going to write a limited series and that's what we're going to get.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Punk Mambo.
Okay. Just rolling. I wrote down pretty good. Damn it. Pretty good. Yeah, from number way.
Number one?
From no on number one to two, yeah, I might have been wrong about number one, to three, damn, that's pretty good. The pieces of the mystery are starting to fall into place, and it's a pretty solid story, especially since I know it's ending at five. I'm all in.
Yeah. The art in this one got progressively worse.
Yeah. I don't think it's as good as the first two.
For sure. And I just don't understand.
But the story's pretty solid. And if you remember, I had a problem with so soon after reading Shadow Man, where the art is fantastic and the story is fantastic, you kind of got lesser art and a different story. But I'm down with it.
It looks like Bone Parish is 12.
Okay.
But there's talk of
another arc. Like
that's volume one or, you know, series one, and then there might be 12 more. The art is what really bugged me, because I was like, you know.
It's not Killer Groove bad.
No, but I mean, like, you had Shadow Man.
Oh, yeah. But it's apples and oranges.
I get it.
Even though it's the same publisher and the same subject matter.
In the same place. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. It's just, I don't know. Regardless. All right, we're going to bring Eric in now. War of the Realms, number six.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. So, after reading number six, I feel like... this is going to be one of the Marvel comics that are talked about 10, 15 years from now. I think this is going to be one of those graphic novels that people go back to and in high regard. I loved it. I thought it was great from beginning to end.
Dude, seriously. I wrote that very satisfying from beginning to end. Those exact words.
Well, one of the things that I think really surprised me and surprised a lot of people online was is how cohesive you could keep the story without I didn't read any of the ancillary comics. I know you didn't either.
No.
You didn't read that many of them, right?
I didn't.
I don't really feel like I needed to per se.
No, I'm sure that it would give you deeper background in some of them, but I've got burned by too many Marvel books.
If at some point that ends up on Hoopla, those end up on Hoopla or something like that, and I can read those for free, I might go back and read them, because it wouldn't hurt to hear a little bit
more.
So
I wrote, I might actually start reading Thor as long as Jason Aaron's writing it.
Well, and they had previews of what's to come in the back, and that King Thor.
It looked
awesome. Really good.
I'm
at least in for the number one for sure.
Indeed. Yeah. And I have to,
I don't know about the Loki one. That looks a little weird. And then it was like Jane Foster Valkyrie or something like that.
Didn't
look great.
Like I said, as long as Jason Aaron's writing it, I think
Jason Aaron was writing one of those.
The King Thor.
The King Thor. I think there was another Thor-related one that he was also...
I might give it a try, because after reading Southern Bastards and this, I mean, that's been my Jason Aaron
primer. Did you read that Unworthy Thor?
No.
You need to dare that to him. Because, that's what Aaron. I was going to kind of go into. That Unworthy Thor was 2015. So you're talking parts of 5 years, 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19.
For his
to
vision.
For his vision and to not give Mjolnir back to him. Think about that. You took away his hammer, the thing that made him Thor for 5 years. What other writer, take away Superman's flight for 5 years, or Spider-Man's
web shooters.
Stickiness. Yeah. Or, I mean, that's huge. And to stay dedicated to for that for 5 years and not be tempted to give it back to him, you know, that's pretty awesome.
And I just picked this up kind of on a lark. I looked at the advertisement. I was like, huh, that looks interesting. And it was fantastic. But I got to give you a shout out for your tweet.
Oh, yeah.
It was. Yeah, I hadn't read it yet. And I try to stay off Twitter until I can read my books. But I saw Eric tweet. What was it? The golden age of craft beer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You have the old Thor talking to the
arrogant, unworthy Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
do they have mead? Oh, wait a minute. They've got mead, but guess what else they have?
Yeah. And yeah, but I think it was liked by Jason Aaron and the artist.
That's awesome. So,
yeah.
That's great. And the art was good. Like, I mean, you had a lot of shit going on there, and I felt like it was detailed enough to where it wasn't just like a jumbled up, blurry mess.
Like, yeah, it's not a standard size comic either. I mean, that thing is each one of those issues is thick. Yeah. So, yeah, they put some work into.
And there were many, many storylines, and those didn't all get jumbled up and confusing. It was just really, really well done. It's one of the best Marvel event comics I've read, probably, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the first Civil War.
Possibly. I mean,
were they doing those ancillary comics back when the first Civil War came out?
Dude, ancillary. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always a money grab.
Everybody was affected.
And the ancillaries may be good. I can't speak to them because I didn't.
And kind of the nice part about those, too, they didn't make, other than Venom, they made them separate comics. It wasn't like, oh, Spider-Man has now been taken over with War of the Realms. It was,
I think, it was
Journey into Mystery and Strike Force, Atlas.
And it was,
there was an X-Men
War Scrolls, I think.
Yeah, and then Punisher had a weird one too.
Oh God, no! I think the Punisher one's one of the ones that's coming out. It's like Punisher.
He's kind of continuing
assassin in the realm or something.
Stuff,
yeah. I don't know what it's called, but it's something. It looks ridiculous.
Yes.
And it's like basically him on a war path through the realms. And I'm like,
but dude, if he could have Thory with him murdering for him,
dude, could you imagine that Punisher just rolls up like in a trench coat with the thing?
Yeah.
And then it's like Thory and he has like a little ascot on with a little Punisher symbol and like and a butch chain here to fuck shit up. I'd watch that movie. I'd read that comic. All right. Canto number one.
Okay. So.
Story time.
Let Eric see that one.
So, new IDW book, number one.
Which, I mean, you picked my books up for me that week.
Correct.
You're like, hey, dude, I picked this up for you. And I was like, okay.
Because it's
a number one.
Looked good.
Yeah. Looks interesting.
And how did I do?
So, undoubtedly, it's a little weird. But it's really good. All right. Now, this is going to... I don't know that my description will do it justice.
You remember about 7 to 10 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
Nails.
There's a dude with the nails and black barn.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have little kid slaves who have their hearts removed by slavers and replaced by a clock.
Yep.
Okay. They are forbidden to love or have names, a la the Unsullied.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't spoil too much, but I mean, by the end of book one, you were pretty bought into Kanto's quest.
Yeah.
And again, it's a little weird. Okay, it's a lot weird.
Yeah, but I mean,
but that's kind of what I survive on with comics.
It's weirder than
Bone Parish. It's a Punk Mambo.
It's a human story.
Yeah, it's the Tin Man.
Sure, or it's a man against time.
Yeah,
whichever one. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah, I mean, it was actually surprising to me because I was like, all right, I mean, it's a little mechanical knight guy with a time bomb basically in his chest.
But the art's good. The story's good.
Well, the art works for the comic. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like,
it's not Alex Ross, Bernie Wrightson.
Yeah. It's not like the Hall of Fame of, but, you know, it works. So, all right. Moving on now to high level number five.
Let's talk about art that does work. I mean, what happened? Did we change? I didn't look it up. Did we change artists? You see, art went from being pretty damn good to not at all.
Okay, so high level number uno.
All right, while you're looking that up, I mean, the story is still great. The art changed, and not in a good way. 13 and Minnow reach low level, and this will come as a shock, but it's basically a work camp. There's traps that are laid, alliances that are broken. It's still, from a writing aspect, it's a really good story. I'm enjoying that. I wish there were more twists. I wish, you know, we were talking a little earlier that the foreshadowing was not as present as it is. I would rather be surprised that, hey, my ally turned against me. Ho ho.
Yeah. Nothing happened that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
And that kind of bugs me. Who is the, you have it in front of you. Who are the artists at the bottom?
I just have names.
Okay.
I don't know.
Rob Sheeran is the writer.
Okay. Barnaby Baginda.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Romolo Fajondo Jr.
Same people.
Okay. So maybe we just had an off week because this, the art just took a dump.
A dumpster fire.
Yeah. It's not, again, it's not Killer Groove bad, but
there was better art in the comic earlier on.
Yes. 1 through 4. I thought the art was pretty fantastic.
Agreed. Our last compare, Detective Comics 1006.
Okay. So this is usually the point in the podcast where I kind of get to sit back
and mock us unmercifully.
Yes. And just be like,
it's my turn.
Yes, exactly.
Except it's not going to work out very well for you.
Yeah. I'm going to say if it's the same
writer, I'm going to pass this to you so you can look at.
I'm pretty
all right, dude.
Confident in my.
Okay.
Okay.
So number one, the art is pretty fantastic. You got
definitely better than the last.
Oh yeah,
Bernie Wrightson level. Oh, yeah. Batman. Oh, yeah. Rabbit ears.
Not which there is no way they're not trying to mimic. Oh. Like,
just put a check mark by it. And like, Batman Rabbit ears, check.
Like, there's just
Spectre drawn pretty perfect. Check.
Yeah, and I love like the smoke. Like, the thing that gets me is the curls.
Yes,
on the cape.
On the cape. Yes,
and the smoke. And it's like,
I'm kind of getting a little goosebumpy.
Yeah, dude. It's
not even lying.
It's really good.
The story is pretty solid as well. A cult has kidnapped Corrigan, who is the Spectre's host.
Yeah,
and it would seem like they want to kill him and supply a new host because they're like, looks like a cult of Spectre wannabes.
Yeah,
and they want one of them to probably be possessed by the Spectre, and there's pretty good dialogue because, you know, Batman doesn't kill. The Spectre's all about, he's God's wrath.
Oh dude,
he's just going to F people up.
He just literally liquefies some dude.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the whole comic was when the Spectre leaves him and the invisibility wears off.
I'm like, oh, here you are.
And Gordon's kind of like, oh, Batman, nice of you to make an appearance. And the other people around him are like, where the fuck did this dude come from, man? I mean, we were standing here and he wasn't there.
So as long as Spectre's a guest star and I have this level of art and it's not, you know, the get along gang, you know, the Batman family going on or, you know, any of that shenanigans.
Sun bombs.
Yeah. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
I would, if you can still get another copy, I would pick this up.
I mean,
Which is fair. Hilarious, dude.
I've paid for it for a while. I'm going to set some detective out.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, man.
It's just, Spectre is one of my favorite characters. I mean,
and he hasn't been around.
No, he hasn't.
DC Comics for a while,
for a good long time. And you know, my buddy Jeff turned me on to Spectre. I had no idea who he was. I mean, super super powerful. And the interactions between him and Batman, because Batman's like, we've had discussions about killing before, and he's like, I'm God's wrath. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know what discussions you need to have with me, you know, Dark Knight. So I was very, very, very pleased with that.
I was as well. I really enjoyed it. Okay. Well, that is going to take us out of the compares and into the shares, to which I have two.
I have none. Dude, that may be a first.
Do you have two? Or three?
As a combination, yes.
Okay.
I'm just combining four down into
two. I mean, you want to go
well,
first?
Well, I mean, it's I can take one of them. Yeah.
Go for
to
it.
Start.
Yeah, just do it.
Well, hang on. We got a new beer.
Yeah.
And I mean, full disclosure, it may be awful.
Oh, it's going to be awful. Yeah.
But I picked it up because
I've title seen this and I almost picked it up.
Is Adios Pantalones. And I'm pretty sure you have to just pick up a beer, you know, that says goodbye pants. Cerveza de saison, beer with lemon and lime. Maybe it's session, not saison.
It's saison. So it's Rar and Sons Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
I don't know. It smells good.
Adios Pantalones Cerveza. Refreshing citrus notes with aromas. Crisp, clean, light body, brewed with lemon and lime. Pants are optional. Adios. Quality brewed, community strong, Texan proud. Quality brewing, community strong.
Not bad.
Texan proud.
All right. So, my first share is Guardians number 6 and Guardians Annual number 1. Guardians 6 is kind of the culmination of the first arc. I had kind of told you about it last time. Was getting really good.
And this is the story where Thanos is dead and they're trying to find the new Thanos.
Right. They have kind of his soul or his
consciousness. Something.
And who's it going to be downloaded into? So highlights of this comic towards the end, an interaction between Peter and Gamora was great. I mean, because this is still kind of continuing that storyline of the Infinity War, where, you know, I mean, she just stabbed him right in the chest.
She gave zero Fs.
So really cool scene with them. Best part of this issue, though, was Cosmic Ghost Rider kind of gets free. He's been kind of being controlled by Hela while she was around. Gets free of it at a price and ends up back in hell at the feet of Johnny Blaze, and who is the king of hell now in the Marvel Universe. It was really good. I think this first arc was excellent. And then next, and we're finally kind of getting ourselves back to the original Guardians too.
Okay.
There's still a few extras on the team right now, but you're getting back to that core group, and Seven is supposed to have Rocket back in it. He has been absent from the first six.
Isn't he supposed to croak out sometime soon?
Something like that. I don't know if they'll actually do that or not, but yeah, it doesn't look good for him right now. At least that cover with his paw print covered in blood as it's streaking down the glass. And so then the annual kind of ties into the Silver Surfer storyline plus the Guardians line. And it kind of goes, it's not.
You mean Silver Surfer Black?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of learn what happened to some of those heroes that were either sucked into the black hole or the Silver Surfer was able to save them and keep them out of the black hole. So it follows Cosmo, the Russian space dog, Darkhawk, Kazar, Nova, and Warlock. And
Darkhawk?
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, I know.
So like four different stories with those characters in it and kind of what has happened to them since then. So for an annual, it was actually pretty decent.
Nice.
So
cool.
So that's the Guardians update.
Flash year one, book 3 or 4. I don't know. Number 73. So at last we talked, the Flash had been shot. So he uses the Speed Force to get the bullet out, and then it like rips a hole through his chest, which I'm not really sure how that happened. And then, like, in the next panel, he's running after Iris and there's no hole in his... I don't know. Anyway. So, the original villain that I kind of cast away, his name's Turtle, which it's kind of stupid sounding.
Turtle.
Yeah, but apparently...
You're not turtly enough for my turtle club.
Yeah. This is why I didn't mention it before.
I mean, if he gets poked, does he rescind into his shell?
No, I don't think so. No. Mm-mm. Anyway.
It's his nickname, Snapper. Okay, I'll stop.
No, that's his girlfriend's name. Anyway.
Anyway. So he's a box turtle?
He's a common garden turtle.
Okay. Does he like pizza?
He likes lettuce.
Okay.
Which is actually something turtles like. But anyway, so...
Does he wear...
Fucking Christ, dude!
Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Are you sure? You done?
I just wanted to know if he wore just like a little, you know... I thing, you know, covered his
He's
eyes.
Not a ninja turtle.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
No. Anyway.
We're good.
He
nunchucks.
He's been touched by the Speed Force, but he can, like, take it away. It's like he's, like, anti-fast.
So he's
No, he has the, like, he can channel, slow. Like, suck the Speed Force out of somebody.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So he, like, there was a time travel thing that I was telling you about, like, at the beginning where, he, like, Barry runs and then he ends up in the future.
Run, Barry, run.
And he meets Old Flash, and then, like, Old Flash is like, bro, I can't tell you anything. Well, at the end of this episode, the turtle shows up with Old Barry, like, and he's, like, sucking the Speed Force out of Old Man Flash. So I don't know how that's going, but... I think it's only like two more issues, so I'm gonna hopefully the next one is
Soldier On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, yeah.
Little turtle. I'm
trying to remember and think of what this beer reminds me of. It's there's something that I've had that tastes really similar to Adios Pantalones.
I get what you're saying, and I thought the same thing too.
Okay, so is it a Pilsner style? Is it a lager?
It's a saison.
I think it's a session. I think I pronounced it incorrectly. I don't
a
think
session it's, beer maybe yeah. is what that is yeah. supposed to say.
I don't think it's a saison. So to me, it's like
beer of the session.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
did you untap it?
I'm gonna
the lemon and lime. Yeah, I did. It's a lager. It's the answer is right in front of me. I'm an idiot. American Light, 20 IBUs. It's 4.5 ABV. I mean, it's super refreshing. Yeah, it's the first thing in the style guide. Refreshing citrus notes and aromas. Crisp and clean, light body.
Is it sequence ale?
Brewed with lemon and lime. Pants optional.
I'll think
it's
of just, it.
It's maybe, pretty refreshing. But-
It's, I know, but like for me, like there's zero, almost zero carbonation. Like you can just, I mean, if you wanted to chug this, you could just chug. But then it's like flat at the start and then it hits you.
It's kind of dry. Yeah.
But there's another beer that starts out real flat and then there's that spark of taste just like this. And I know exactly what he's talking about, but I don't know what it is.
I can't think of what.
But we've had it before.
Yeah.
It's almost.
I want to think
it's not quite a sour, but it wouldn't take much to make that be a sour.
Yeah.
It's it feels like a Dogfish Head beer of some sort. But I don't know what it is.
Lots of dead air.
Keep the thinking about it take more sips of it here. So I had Amazing Spider-Man 23 and 24. 23 is the epilogue to the Hunted storyline, and basically it has to do with Kraven's son dealing with the death of his father.
You mean him murdering him? Spoiler alert.
Well, I guess I won't read it now. Just kidding.
And you can kind of see him At some point, I'm going to have you read it. So I don't want to completely spoil it. And then Peter kind of trying to deal with the vision that he kept having through the Hunted storyline of MJ being hurt or maybe killed. So that was 23. And then and that wrapped up the Hunted completely. And then 24 was really good in the fact that it wraps up the whole first year here of this of the Nick Spencer and Ryan Ottley art and writing, because now we finally get to see more of that villain that we saw way back in number one.
Okay.
And so it was pretty cool. Mysterio is at a psychiatrist. And if you remember, Mysterio was attacked in that issue number one by this villain that we still didn't know who it was. And so he's sitting there at the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist is trying to get him to name this villain. Who was this? Because Mysterio thinks he died. Like, he still thinks from that courtroom that he died during that. And, and the psychiatrist is like, no, you didn't die. Here you are right here. You know, name that. Who is this person? Because it's totally controlling your life. And then suddenly centipedes and bugs start falling from the ceiling, and the psychiatrist takes out of there, and Mysterio is killed again by this dude, just brutally, like, you know, just shattered globe, and only this time, however this villain is doing it, Peter sees this while he's sleeping, and learns, sees this vision, wakes up from it, and knows this villain's name, and the villain's name is Kindred. So it was cool. I'm excited to see where it goes from here. So
interesting.
Interesting.
The first year was kind of up and down. Like, it started off great.
Yeah, I mean, that first issue was amazing, and then it was like, "Hey, I'm Peter Parker. Hey, I'm also Peter Parker." And I was like, "Nah, bro."
And I stuck with it, and
the Hunted was pretty good. Was really good.
Hopefully, this is good signs for this next year.
Awesome.
So.
So the last share is Wolverine Exit Wounds number one. Let's just say I made the gravest of mistakes by picking this book up. The first two stories were not good or great, and then the third story, which Eric can back me up on this because he's seen the art, dude. I cannot understate this enough. A 5-year-old drew it.
Okay.
Like,
Is it all the same writer? Is it an amalgamation of three
different stories with three different authors and writers? The only reason why I picked it up is because the middle story was Chris Claremont.
Okay.
And it was okay, but it was more like a...
I know that guy?
No, it was more like... Well, yeah, that was like kind of the reason why I bought the book is, hey, I know that guy. But like... Jesus. Like... Honestly, like the third story is I hate to say this, but it's like it's almost disgraceful, like, that Marvel allowed that to be put into print. Like, it is just shockingly bad art.
So I should go out and get a copy.
Only if you want to rip out like the last 7 pages.
Okay.
Like, okay. It is just...
Dude, I can't do that to a comic.
Bro, it's got...
I hate. I just can't.
I mean, like, it's a conversation / fight between Wolverine and Venom. The last story is. And neither one of them is drawn good, well, at all. Like, I mean, like, Wolverine is, like, got, like, a full-on... like ape stash going on, like his whole head.
Easy.
His whole head.
Some people are working on their magnificent mustaches. No.
I'm talking like, yes.
Was like,
yes.
Taller than the Batman ears.
Yes. Like, his hair is like straight up, and then he has like full facial hair, like out to here.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, that's a problem. And then like Venom's face is flat on the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have I explained enough?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, that does take us out of the shares and into the dares.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
All right.
So, Royal City follow up.
Okay. Yeah. Because you had almost finished it.
I finished it. Yeah. No bueno.
It's a little out there.
Yeah. Well, it's so the out there I'm cool with. It's just depressing. And maybe for the next book, you know, somebody makes something happen. But man, I suffered through like several books of just, hey, well, I'm going to tear down the factory you're the foreman in because I want to put a golf course here and you're going to be happy with it. No, I want a divorce. Okay, you guys are happy. Hey, I'm going to write a book and the only way I can do that is to talk about my dead brother and look through his journal. No, I can't. You can't do that. It's my life. Yeah, I need to turn in a book. I was looking for the redeeming aspect of it and just couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And like I said, maybe volume two, it all just like, all right, we've suffered through the bad times. Here's the good times.
It's possible. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to look for volume two of that.
Well, yeah, I don't think I am either. So I had Neon Future numbers 1 through 4. And I mean, you guys have already kind of covered this before, but it's, you know, this it's after the big like war on technology, and you have the analogs versus the plugins. The main character Clay is you know, used to be an analog and is now a plugin, and so it kind of follows him. And it, I thought, I mean, by the time I got to 4, I was definitely enjoying it, and 4 left off with a pretty good cliffhanger because you have the basically like the number 2 plug-in seemingly getting ready to betray the plugins to some of the analogs. So it was pretty good. I enjoyed it,
dude. For a no-name publisher,
yeah,
I mean, it's a solid fucking book.
Yeah.
So, oh, back to me. I had Wicked and Divine, and we compared it to Saga at some point, and I don't know why we went there, but
I think I initially said it's not quite Saga, but it's pretty close. Like, it was one that I couldn't stop reading. Like, I as soon as I got to an end of a volume, it was like, okay, got to see what happens next.
So to me, like, volume one, it was solid. It was good. I liked the premise. I liked the art. I liked everything about it. But to me, it was just like, okay, all right. I got to 2, and the last part of 2, I was like, holy shit. Okay, that just happened.
Yeah.
And then just had to immediately, I'm halfway through 3. I haven't read it as fast as Saga, but it is a really, really solid book. I mean, great writing, great art. And you've read number 1. I would challenge you. You need to read number 2 because by the end of 2, you're like, oh, okay. Oh, wow. There's more happening here than because it kind of lulls you along, like, okay, here's a story about this god. And then, but there's still the underlying conspiracy going on through that. Yeah, it's a really good book. Really, really good book.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I knew I was pretty hooked with it pretty quickly. And I'm excited to see how it ends.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that it?
New dares?
We done?
Yeah.
New dares going out?
I've got one new dare. I'm going to dare Eric Canto, number 1.
Oh, okay. All right. I can do that. So, Brian Mann, I'm giving you Guardians 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
I hope I couldn't remember exactly where you quit.
I think I only have 1 and 2.
1 and 2. So,
Hoopla.
Well,
is it on Hoopla?
No, I don't think so. So I didn't grab 3, but
that's fine.
I don't know.
We'll
maybe you can
we'll figure it out.
Put enough of it together. Brian, I'm starting to run out of. I'm like looking through my stuff going, I don't know exactly what to give you. So I'm going to give you a different type of dare this time.
Okay.
I have an Avengers encyclopedia. You don't have to read the whole thing. Here's what I thought you could do. Pick three Avengers that you don't know very much about and read about those three Avengers and kind of tell us about those three, because this kind of runs the gamut of everybody.
That's actually a pretty cool dare. It really is, because I know some about the Marvel Universe. I'm way more DC centric, so that would be a cool.
So it has your standard guys in here, but then there's like Yellow Jacket and Black Knight. I mean, Black Knight was kind of part of War of the Realms. That might his sword, you know, was taken by Malekith. Is that?
I think so.
Malekith.
So there's some different people in there, so yeah, maybe pick three and just read about those guys and report back to us.
Done and done.
Okay, well, that takes us out of the dares and into the impaired section, to which we have one more beer for.
This is Elysian Salt and Seed. So it is a Salt and Seed Watermelon Goza.
Salt and Sea. Yes.
Salt and Seed. Yes, have you watched Salt and Sea yet?
No, I have not. Speaking of movies, there's a rumor that Robert Pattinson is backed out of the Batman movie. Over people not fucking wanting him there.
Okay.
All right. So here comes the next part. So who's Batman now?
Don't care. I mean, quite honestly, I'm to the point where I realize we got to continue making money and we got to keep pumping out Batman movies. Yeah,
but I feel like if you're going to solo movies instead of these huge, massive team ups.
Here's what I care about more. I don't want to shit on my own point, but if it were Robert Pattinson in Batman Year One.
Wow. Yeah.
I might be interested.
Well, I mean, it's a noir script.
What I'm looking for is tell me a Batman story that I haven't seen. Show me Hush. I don't know that they could do Hush.
I mean, they're doing an animated version of Hush.
DC animation is.
Right.
Needs to maybe come along with the times a little bit because it kind of looks the same, but. Whatever. Tell me a story that I'm interested in seeing. Don't do, hey, it's Batman versus Superman, and we're just going to crunch together a whole bunch of pieces that fit.
Yeah. BBS
I'm more interested in what's the story going to be versus the actor. As long as it's somebody who can act their way out of a cardboard box, I'm more interested in what story are you putting out.
Yeah. Well, the story is... it's like set in like the 50s or something like that, or the it's noir style of writing, and
that's pretty darn good.
It's Batman, and then the only two villains are Mad Hatter and Two-Face. So I mean, those are
I think that's the problem right there.
You have
I don't need two villains.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's like. We don't really know, though, like how involved the villains are.
But to me, that's where you get into lazy writing when you have to have 15 villains to take on one superhero. Yeah. I mean, just tell me, a Batman versus Joker, a Batman versus Two-Face.
Yeah, but we've had a bunch of those, man. I mean, in every iteration.
Okay, have we?
Every iteration.
We had Batman versus Joker in the first the Tim Burton Batman. There weren't any others. Then in the second Tim Burton, it's Penguin and Catwoman.
It's Danny DeVito.
And then in the next one, it's Two-Face and Riddler. I mean, we have to team up. It's Mr. Freeze.
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy.
And Bane.
So I mean, you got to double down. You got to triple down. You got to have more villains.
And then in the Christopher Nolan, it's Ra's al Ghul. Second movie's Joker. And third movie is Bane.
And
in every iteration.
And Talia.
I guess.
Yeah.
But in every iteration of Batman, there's always been a Joker.
But if it's done
like
right,
in Batman 66, like in the there Nolans, was a Joker, Cesar Romero.
You had Scarecrow in there too.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was thrown in.
Yes.
So if like if the main baddie is Two-Face and Mad Hatter is just kind of thrown in.
Cool. That's we don't know though. That's the thing. We don't know.
Every villain has to be the main villain.
Correct.
Like they, Nolan did that perfectly with throwing in other people
to show you what's going on in that universe.
Yeah, because. Yeah,
also, Victor Zsasz was mentioned in the first film.
Yep,
Victor Zsasz. Yeah. Yep. So,
but I'm cool with that if there's just a little flavoring, a little paprika sprinkled. Well,
the thing is we don't know anything about this movie.
Yeah,
like the only things
well,
that
we do know one thing. It's Robert Pattinson
not anymore. Like, I mean, it's to my knowledge, he's confirmed to have dropped. Like he's not.
I mean,
doing
I know he's got a lot of other stuff going on.
I don't think he wants.
There's a Rainbow Bright convention where you know, sparkles are
hilarious. No, but to be fair though, really, like I mean, if you were Robert Pattinson and you woke up the day after you accepted the offer and you were like, oh, nobody wants you.
Yes.
Like immediately you're like, I don't fucking know this.
Really, if you're, I don't know,
dude. Because if you fuck it up. Comic book fans are voracious.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like they,
I don't know. I think if you're a good enough actor, you're out to prove somebody wrong.
I guess you're not out to prove anybody wrong because you dropped the project like 3 weeks after you accepted the gig.
Still just a rumor, though. I haven't seen anything confirmed on that. I don't know.
See, my whole contention is I just don't need another Batman film. I mean, there are plenty of other DC heroes that you can make a film of and make it good, and I'll go watch it.
Well, I think one of the problems is like you've canceled so many pilot projects that it's like, man, if you would just let the
Swamp Thing.
Well, no. I mean, like movies, not TV shows. Like they were going to do a triple Green Lantern. They were going to do Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and Guy Gardner as like an intergalactic.
As much as I love Guy Gardner, that doesn't do anything for me.
And it was going to be.
But here's what would do something for me. More than a New Gods movie, I would love to see a Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, buddy cop,
but I almost
comedy that, with Tom King writing.
But I want it. I want that like a TV show though, like Starsky and Hutch, except. You know, instead of a Chevelle or whatever, it's a Torino.
I never really. Watched
anyway,
it.
It's yeah. anyway. It you know they're going through they're in a Blue Beetle's like little beetle ship. I think that would be hilarious, man. Yeah. But I don't know. The thing
you could do a comedy about that.
Yes.
And people who nobody knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were
for sure.
Okay, the diehards knew.
Right, but
your mom didn't know who Star-Lord was. So rock it out. Okay, Booster Gold. Not really.
No one knows.
Until Tom King brought him back. Blue Beetle. Yeah, you tried to do it with let's change the character instead of Ted. Let's make him.
Yeah, but nobody knows who that is. Like nobody who doesn't know comics knows who that is.
So you can play with that, and you can make it fun, and you can make him kind of dumb and, you know, dumb and dumber of the DC universe. Knock it out.
Plus, I mean,
but I feel like
the interaction between
we keep going back to Batman,
Booster Gold,
Batman. This is the only thing we can do right. This is the only thing we can do right
because Batman sells.
Yeah, but the problem is. I'm a pretty big Batman fan.
They need somebody like Kevin Feige at Marvel that is just going to, this is how we're going to do it. This is how it's going to be laid out. Because they could be on that route by now. If they started it right and not needed to jump to Justice League and throwing everybody together, if they had built it like Marvel did, they 100%. Could be on their way to 100%. A Booster Gold and a Blue Beetle. Instead, we're sitting here and, I mean, Wonder Woman comes out next year, but other than that, we have nothing on Flash, nothing on anybody else. This Batman's not going to be connected.
So
to
we
anything.
Have we have Joker in November with Joaquin Phoenix, which
looks odd,
but could
be awesome.
But
looks odd.
If anyone's going to do odd and crazy, and you don't have Jack Nicholson right there, I mean,
or Heath Ledger.
Well, he's
oh, exactly. You rest, don't have him.
Rest yeah. in fucking peace. You have.
But I would tell you, Jack Nicholson was more Cesar Romero than
for sure. But that yeah. was, I mean,
that's what he knew.
Yeah, but I mean, he plays crazy really well. I mean, yeah. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, I wish he'd. Yeah,
I mean,
played crazy more Heath Ledger style.
Who?
Nicholson.
I mean, you're talking about 88,
I think. Yeah. 88, 89. I
mean, was Heath Ledger even born in 88?
No, but you know? What I'm saying is the source material he pulled from was Batman 66.
Yeah, but we didn't have Killing Joke in 1988, did we?
Yep.
I mean,
I think it was 87.
Who knows? Regardless.
Yeah.
No, you don't have, I mean, you've gone through Mark Hamill being the Joker since that.
Which would be pretty awesome.
You can't have that, dude.
Why?
You're going to have Old Man Joker?
We still haven't told Dark Knight Returns. You've told it in animated. You've cribbed parts of it for Batman versus Superman, but you've still not told that story.
Who are you getting to play Superman? In that story, you gonna get Henry Cavill to do it? Who are you gonna get to play Green Lantern or Green Arrow?
He's put some makeup on for another role, hadn't he?
What do you mean?
Isn't makeup. He the new Witcher?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So I mean,
which to be fair, like, if you want a quintessential fans getting what they want,
yeah,
it is how Henry Cavill looks. In Witcher, because like 2 years ago at Comic-Con, they released a still of him dressed up as Geralt
of Rivia.
And everyone was like, never going to watch this. Yeah. Looks like shit. Holy fuck. You just put him in a gray wig. And then I'm serious, dude. People were like shitting on this. They're like, my kid can look better as Geralt by going to Party City and spending $5. And then a couple of days ago, they released a still of him with the silver sword. And dude, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yennefer looks pretty good.
Yeah, I might have to watch that.
And
because I think I was
initial reactions
might not always add up to what the final product is.
Oh, I feel like a circle around.
Oh, so weird. So weird. Social media.
Who are you
freaking out about Robert Pattinson?
Oh, yeah.
Might okay. just want to wait around and see
yeah,
what
yeah.
actually happens.
And I'm down for if he
you
is.
Know, here's what I would like. What was her name? The super stony faced actress in Twilight.
Oh, Kristen Stewart.
Oh, yeah. As Catwoman. Yeah. No. And if we could get who's Wolf Boy?
Taylor Lautner?
Should he be? Man Bat. There we go.
I like
there
it.
There we go.
Or like Etrigan?
No, I like Etrigan.
Of course you do.
So I'm gonna cut in here if we're at a lull of the lull of the news. So I'm gonna plug another podcast just for a second because I think it's a good one. I've listened to the first episode of it, and it relates to things that we talk about. So Ryan Stegman, who's the artist on Venom, and Donnie Cates are starting to put out a podcast, and it's been pretty entertaining to listen to. If it's called Stegman and His Amazing Friends, I don't think Cates is going to be on every single one of them, but the first one was great, and gave quite a few kind of interesting things. Like Donnie Cates was originally just going to be an artist and was going to school to just be an artist, and he happened to take took the mandatory writing class that he had to for college, whatever college this was, and the teacher was like, hey, you know, you might have something here, you're pretty good at this. And so that's when he switched over to starting to write right. So I thought that was pretty cool. When he signed exclusively with Marvel a couple of years ago, he told them that he wanted, there were two characters that he wanted to work with. Venom, it was the first one.
Okay.
And then the second one, he said, I can't tell you what it is because I've just signed up to do this character. So whatever it is, and this was just recorded, so it's not like Silver Surfer or anything like that. He told them one other character that he wants control of. Whatever it is, he's got it. They just haven't announced it yet. So
who do you think it is?
I don't.
Did he give any?
No, he didn't give anything away. No, I don't
is
know.
Is it going to be Ryan Stigman on the art?
I don't know that either. He didn't say that. Absolute Carnage that comes out in August.
And did you see
60 pages?
Did you see the it was so small in War of the Realms, where after the battle was over, Venom's like limping away and he says, I have to return for the coming carnage.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
I was like, foreshadowing.
The best thing out of the listening to it, though, was like, because there's a host guy there. Okay. So there's a third guy there. And he was like, you know, why are you guys doing this? Why do a podcast? And Kate's answer was, well, I figure it was only a matter of time before Tom King and Mitch started doing their own podcast, so I have to beat them at something.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. So pretty fun little listen. They're walking. I haven't gotten all the way through the issue, but they're kind of walking you through Venom number one.
Okay.
And just what they did kind of page by page. And it was kind of cool to listen to. So
do they talk about who came up with Noel?
That was Kate's.
Nice.
This whole, he has four arcs planned after Absolute Carnage.
Fuck.
So that's another year or two of Kate's on Venom.
He's going to be around for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder who it is, dude.
You
can't think it's Daredevil because
could he want to do like Moon Knight or something like that? Man, or
I don't know, dude.
I don't think it's gonna, because it's not gonna be like Spider-Man.
No. It's gonna be somebody obscure.
And they already have X-Men kind of lined up with this new Jonathan Hickman guy.
What about X-23?
That would be awesome.
Donny Cates doing Lauren Gabby.
Or, I mean, Wolverine technically doesn't have his own comic right now either.
I think you need to let old Logan die for a while. Again, just let him.
He's barely gotten back.
I know, but you failed miserably bringing him back. Could be fantastic. I don't know.
He's good in War of the Realms.
I love.
And he's good right now in Savage Avengers. I mean, he's Logan of Pabst.
I miss number three. I missed number three of Savage Avengers at the comic book store. I freaking hate myself for that.
You'll get it.
I'll get it.
There'll be plenty left.
Hater. Such a cock.
Hater.
So what did we like best?
I don't even know. What's this last one called again?
Salt and Seed.
Salt a Seed? I mean, it's really good, but it's kind of like a tartness to it. I don't know, man.
See, I'm voting for Salt and Seed.
I really like it.
It's very good
too. It's good, but I enjoyed the
Adios
Pantalones.
It's gonna drive me crazy until I do figure out what beer that.
Like
that
4 days later, like, I'm gonna get texts like, I figured it out. There it is.
I know what
nailed
it is
it.
Now. I will figure it out.
It couldn't be that Sweetwater Tropical Paradise, could it?
No, I don't think it's. I think it's.
It's something we have here, and it's something we have had before.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Regardless. So what we're saying is the Elysian Salt a Seed?
Salt and Seed.
Oh, that
salt
is a...
Salt and Seed.
It looks just like an A out
it
from...
It does kind of, yeah.
Sorry.
Salt and Seed.
Salt and Seed, yeah, watermelon.
She has to whisper it.
Keep the salt, hold the seeds. This Goza uses 100% natural watermelon and kosher salt. So
kosher.
Kosher.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say the Pantalones also was
very close second. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yep. Alrighty. Well, you can find us at Portographic PC on Twitter, Portographic Podcast on Facebook, Portographic Podcast on SoundCloud, and if you want to email us, it is trashpandaradio@gmail.com. And hashtag
break free.